Place seems so familiar. I feel like Rav Schechter's not supposed to come tonight or something. Okay. Truth is, I love coming to Stern so much that I even come when I don't have to. That's me. Okay. We're not going to talk about what I was going to talk about last week because Yom HaTzmaut is already gone. So we're gonna talk about something else instead. And that is, we're still in Sfiras HaOmer. So I wanted to share with you a couple of shailas that I got about Sfiras HaOmer recently that I thought were fascinating questions. And, this slot, right, I could talk about whatever I want, right? It doesn't have to be Hashkafa or Halacha or whatever. It can be whatever I want it to be. Good, so it'll be whatever I want it to be. I'm just going to share with you a couple of shailas that I got recently about Sfiras HaOmer, and we'll talk about the Halacha. I don't know if there will be any Hashkafa mixed in, but it certainly will largely be Halacha. So I got the following two shailas. Maybe you'll tell me which one you want to talk about first. Shaila number one that I got was as follows. In the email that said, B'chvod HaRav, my wife tries to count Sfira every night with a bracha. She usually succeeds to go the whole way, Baruch Hashem be'ezras Hashem. Unless it's just Baruch Hashem be', but I think it's be'ezras Hashem. The other night, she said Kriya Shema Alamita, including a mapil, and then as soon as she put her head on the pillow, she sprung back up, realizing, and she made gestures to me until I figured it out that she hadn't yet counted. So I'm assuming the gestures were like, right, something like that. So is she allowed to get up and count at that point, or must she wait until morning? I guess I'm asking in case it happens again, and also because I want to know the right answer, regardless of what I actually told her to do. Thanks so much. So that is shaila number one. And then yesterday, I got a shaila from someone that said as follows. Yesterday was Sunday, right. So this fellow told me, it was a voice note, but I wrote it down, and he said as follows. Hi, Rabbi, I have a good one for you. I couldn't remember if I counted Sfira the other night, meaning he meant Friday night. He made early Shabbos, so he couldn't remember if he got. So when you make early Shabbos, it's too early to count Sfira, so he's planning on counting Sfira later, and he couldn't remember if he actually did count Sfira later. So he writes, or he said, so I wasn't sure if I should continue counting with the bracha on Saturday night, on Matzoy Shabbos. I asked my wife and kids if they remember me counting, because he didn't remember, and he figured he was at the meal with them, so probably at the end of the meal, he either did or didn't. And my wife said, yeah. You were sleeping on the couch, and I said the Omer, and you just repeated it with the whole bracha. Yeah, you definitely said it. And my son confirmed the story and said that I counted with a bracha. But I don't remember it at all, because I'm pretty sure that I was sleeping. Can I still count with a bracha? A little too much Kiddush wine for this guy. So he was pretty sure that he counted while sleeping. So now, and he missed the whole next day. He forgot to count again. So now it's the next night. He wants to know, can he continue counting with a bracha? So those are our two shailas. Any preference of which ones? So we have, they're both relate to sleeping and Sfira. What are the chances in a couple of days? You get two shailas about sleeping and Sfira. So do we want the Hamapil Sfira one first, or the, which we'll call Shaila number one, or the sleeping during Sfira one, which we'll call Shaila number two. We're going to do a vote by a show of hands. All those who would like to discuss Shaila number one, Shaila number two. Looks like one is a little more, right? Anyone counting? Was anyone counting? I wasn't counting. Was anyone, probably one is a little more, yeah? Hamapil one? Everyone's very into Hamapil. Everyone likes to talk about Hamapil. So, okay, there are a number of things to talk about over here. First of all, the fellow said it was his wife, it wasn't him. So there are a lot of elements to uncover, to talk about over here. Does it matter that it was a woman and not a man? Meaning, does a woman have a different din in Sfira than a man has in Sfira? Another element to think about is, what exactly is the nature of this thing that you're not supposed to talk after Hamapil? Is this an absolute halachic requirement? Is this negotiable? Is it a machlokas? How do we understand this not talking after Hamapil? Third, is there what exactly is the nature of this din that that if you miss a day of Sfira, that you're stuck? Meaning, is it so terrible if she just counts during the day when she wakes up the next morning? And fourth, is there any other eitza? Is there any other advice you can give her that will not sacrifice the talking after Hamapil thing? Is that anything come to mind? Anything you could tell her that will allow her to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer and yet not sacrifice Hamapil? Ah, so there's a possibility maybe she could write the Yomer, right? There's a there's several tshuvas in a row in Rabbi Kiva, in tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger. Apparently, at Rabbi Kiva Eger's wedding, at the rabbi table at the wedding, his uncle was talking to the other rabbis, and they were. I assume every table at Rabbi Kiva Eger's wedding was a rabbi table, but at one of the rabbi tables at Rabbi Kiva Eger's wedding, his uncle Rav Wolf Eger was talking to the other rabbis, and they were talking over this inyan of writing Sfiras Omer, and they would have loved to talk it over with Rabbi Kiva Eger, but he was busy getting married. So later that week, they sent Rabbi Kiva Eger the Shaila during his Shavuot Brachos, saying that we were talking about whether writing the Omer, meaning they made up a new sugya, does not appear in Shas, called Ksiva Kedibor Dami or Ksiva Lav Kedibor Dami. That when you write something down, is that considered as if you said it, or is it not considered as if you said it? So maybe one Eitzah is that if writing counts as a Sfira, then maybe she could just write the Omer and be Yotze that way. What's the counter argument? How would you argue with that? Yeah? Right, meaning if it's really Kedibur, maybe it's really Kedibur, meaning Mimanavshach. If it's not Kedibur, then she's not accomplishing anything. If it is Kedibur, if writing is the same as speaking, then she might be accomplishing something on Sfira, but she might be losing out on the Hamapil, meaning what's this din with Hamapil? That you're not allowed to verbalize? Or that you're not allowed to be mafsik? That you're not allowed to create some sort of hefsik? I remember when I was a kid in camp, in many years ago, in Camp Misora, I was, I guess, 14, 15 years old, and we went to the dining room for lunch, for Shabbos lunch. It was right after family time, and we everyone washed outside the dining room, and then we went to the dining room because we had Kiddush earlier, so we just went straight to the washing station, which is outside the dining room, and then we went to open the dining room doors, and they were locked. The waiters weren't letting us in yet, they weren't ready, they weren't set up yet, they weren't letting us in. So we were all standing outside quietly, gesturing to each other, and you know, having all sorts of conversations in made-up sign language. And Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, my Rebbe, came over, who was the head counselor at the time in Camp Misora. Did you know that he was once the head counselor in Camp Misora? He came over to us and said, you know, there's something called a hefsik. And, you know, if there's enough time where you're gesturing to each other, that's a hefsik too. It's just as bad as Dibor. So it could be that if you're just going to be mafsik, that's the issue. Any other Eitzah for this woman who's agonizing over counting Sfira after Amapil? Is there any other advice that you could do that won't sacrifice one or the other? Brilliant. I didn't think of that. Someone else thought of that and told it to me. Maybe she could just go to sleep, so the Hamapi will go on to sleep, set an alarm for like 2 a.m., and then she'll wake up, and some of her husband will wake up too, and she'll counsel you. The problem is, let's say, so that's happens to be an excellent Eitzah, but let's say it's Friday night. Why not, right? So if it's Friday night, so then she can't set the alarm. So now, and also, really the question is, do you have to do that? Meaning, is one obligated to do that in order to be able to avoid counting after a mapil? Or do you say, no, you know, I'm religious, but not that religious. I'm set an alarm to wake me up at 2 a.m. You know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a piece in the back of the Sefer Halicha Shlomo. Halicha Shlomo was not written by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It was the Torah of and the Piskei Halacha of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that was taken from students' notebooks. But it's very reliable from what they say. There are certain svarim in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that are not quite as reliable, but this one is a very reliable one. And in the back of the Sefer, they have essays that I think he might have actually written himself, or maybe they were just write-ups of shiurim that he gave. And he has one long essay where he tries to argue that a sleeping person is pater from mitzvos. That a sleeping person has no obligation to mitzvos whatsoever. So much so that he suggests that if, let's say, it's Sukkot, the halacha is that a man, not a woman, a man is obligated to eat and sleep in a sukkah. A woman can volunteer to do those things, but a man is obligated to do those things. And let's say you have a sukkah that has room for one person to sleep, but there are two guys that both need to stay in that sukkah. So he suggests, I have an idea. one guy should tell his roommate, you can have the cot. Just go on the rolly cot, if you don't mind, and just bring that into the sukkah. Wait till his roommate falls asleep, roll him out of the sukkah, and then bring his own cot in and go to sleep. Because once he's asleep, he's part of a mitzvah, so it doesn't matter anymore. The mitzvah can't be to sleep in the sukkah, because when you're sleeping, you're not chayav mitzvah. The mitzvah must be to go to sleep in the sukkah. So as long as he goes to sleep, which, by the way, if that is true, if Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach is correct about that, that is an unbelievable response for every teenager that's ever been woken up for Shacharis by a parent to say, look, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I don't have to wake up. I have a Talmud now who's a Talmud in YU Smicha, who is a dorm counselor in a very yeshivish yeshiva in Riverdale, in Tells in Riverdale. And they told him when they hired him, you're hired on one condition. You're not allowed to talk hashkafa with the boys. So that was the only condition that he was hired on, because he's a YU boy. They don't want him to corrupt all the boys. I asked him, like, what's your job? Like, to wake the guys up and get them to Shacharis in the morning? He said, no, my job is to go into the Beis Medrash at 11:30 and throw them out of the Beis Medrash to go to sleep at night, because they don't, they would just stay up all night learning in the Beis Medrash if I don't throw them out. He said, when I get in trouble, it's because I threw them out too late. But that's halavai. We should all have such problems. So anyway, so that's an interesting etzah that maybe set an alarm, or maybe you're not obligated to, because once I'm sleeping, I don't have to wake up if I'm sleeping, then I'm patur from mitzvos. Thing is, I may be patur from mitzvos, but that's not going to help me for the next day. Meaning, if I forget to count that day, if at the end of the day I didn't count, then I forget the whole next day, then I'm not going to be able to count with the bracha going forward. Any other etzah that you could think of? Any other possibility? Ask the husband, did you count Svira yet? And if he says no, so then maybe he can count Svira. Or maybe even if he did, let him count Yatza Motzi. Even if a person was already Yotze the mitzvah, the Mishnah Mesach Rosh Hashanah tells us that if a person was already Yotze a mitzvah, they could still be Motzi others. That's why someone who said Kiddush already could still say Kiddush for other people. So maybe he can do the Bracha and the Svira, and she'll be Yotze with Shomea Ka'ona, and she'll be able to hear. So again, Sarah is going to say, but wait, if it's Shomea Ke'ona, then isn't that the same violation of Hamapil, right? So that's a big sugya in Shas, and it's likely not. What's the biggest raya that it's not? What? We stop for Kedusha to be Shomea. So that's a big machlokas. Rashi tells us whether we should be doing that, because it might be, that's always the question. Whenever something is Ke, something is like, does that mean same as, or kind of like, you know, similar to? So if it means same as, that Shomea Ke'ona, then it's the same as her counting. But it seems that we paskin, Shomea Ke'ona is not exactly same as, it's similar to. Problem with that approach is that there is a shita in Poskim, the Chak Yaakov and the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Zimtav Petas, that says that you can't be Yotze Sfira with Shomea Ka'ona. Because the Gemara is a drasha, usfartem lechem, that you need svira lekol echad ve'echad, that each and every person has to count svira. What does it mean, each and every person has to count svira? So usually it's assumed to mean that it's a mitzvah that the Beis Din doesn't do for you, that you do for yourself, that each individual is obligated in. That's what all the poskim assume. But there is this one posek, the Chak Yaakov and the Sar of the Shulchan Aruch, who assumes, I think it's the Chak Yaakov, who assumes that svira lekol echad ve'echad means that you can't be Yotze with Shomea Ka'ona, that you have to do it yourself, that it doesn't work with Shomea Ka'ona. So all of these Eitzas are good. All of these, any other Eitzas that I missed? Those are the only ones I thought of. Any other Eitzas? No, that would be a bracha levatel, let's say it twice. So meaning it's not like, and you very likely don't lose the first one, right? So it's just, yes, let's talk about Hamapil, right? Good segue. So let's go right into Hamapil and what the nature of Hamapil is. And then maybe afterwards we'll discuss whether it makes a difference that it happens to be a woman who had forgotten to count Sfira earlier, and whether that matters in this context. So where does Hamapil come from? So there's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Samach, where the Gemara tells us, Hanichnas Lishon al Mitaso, if a person is going to sleep on their bed, Omer Mishma Yisrael Advahim Shemoa. You say the first parsha of Shema. The Omer, and you also say Baruch Hamapil Chevli Shena Aleina Yisnuma Alafapai Omer Li Ishton Bas Ayin. You hear at some of Nacha Hashem Lokai Shetashkivenu L'Shalom V'Sein Chalki B'Sarusecha V'Targileni L'Day Mitzvah V'Al Targileni L'Day Avera V'Al Tivienu L'Day Chet V'Al L'Day Avon V'Al L'Day Nisayon V'Al L'Day Vizayon V'Yishlo Bi Yetzer Tov V'Al Yishlo Bi Yetzer Rav V'Tatzileni Mipegara Mechalayim Raim V'Al Yifaluni Chalomos Raim. And that's the reason everyone says it, because everyone's terrified of bad dreams. V'Al Yifaluni Chalomos Raim. Everyone wants to say, I don't want to have any bad dreams. V'Yerhurim Raim Utei Mitah That's the bracha. Go the whole bracha. The Gemara goes through the whole bracha. And then it says, and kimitar. And then when you wake up, Omer, Elokai, Neshamasha Nasata bi Tahura, Ata Yitzarta bi, Ata Nefachta bi, Ata Meshamra Bekir bi, Ata Asalita Meni Lachzir bi, Laslavo, Kolzman Shan Sham Bekir bi, Mada Nil Vnecha, Shem Elokai, Velokai Vasai, Ribon Kol Olamim, Adon Kol Nshamos, Baruch Ata Hashem Machzir Nshamos of Gar Nesim. Okay, slight textual differences that you'll find in these brachos. But the impression you get from the Gemara, when you try to figure out what Hamapil is exactly, is that Hamapil is not a standalone bracha. Because the Gemara said, when you go to sleep, you say this paragraph, and then when you wake up, you say this paragraph. And the impression you get is whatever kind of bracha Elokai Neshama is, that's what kind of bracha Hamapil is. If we're going to try to figure out what the nature of the bracha of Hamapil is, it probably should fit with Elokai Neshama Shenasatabi, which we say in the morning. Now, is there such a din that as soon as you wake up, you must say Elokai Neshama, or do we give you some time in between? Are you allowed to talk in between waking up in Elokai Neshama? Yeah, we wait till we get to shul off. I mean, we sometimes go a long time before we say Elokai Neshama. Meaning it shouldn't be that long, but you're allowed to talk. You're allowed to say good morning, right? You're allowed to. So why is that? Where does it come from that Hamapil you can't talk and that you can't talk? So there is a major discussion about the bracha of Hamapil. What is the nature of this bracha? Meaning every bracha has to fit into a category. There are categories of bracha that are called birchas mitzvah, and this certainly is not a birchas mitzvah. Birchas mitzvah is a bracha you say right before you do a mitzvah. It always, every birchas mitzvah has one thing in common. It says, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. So it's very easy to identify a birchas mitzvah. So the bracha on lulav, the bracha on shofar, the bracha on megillah, a bracha on matzah, the bracha on maror, those are all birchas mitzvah. Hamapil is clearly not a birchas mitzvah. So what is it? What kind of bracha would it be? What else? What are the other options? Birchsanenin, right? Meaning that just like if I were to drink this water, which I may take with me on the road, just like if I were to drink this water, I would say a bracha shakol niyeh b'dvaro before drinking the water. So I'm getting hanah from the drinking, so I have to say a bracha before it. The Gemara says in brachas asal hanas melam azeh b'lo bracha that anyone who gets hanah from this world without a bracha is ki'ilu ma'al, it's as if you're committing mi'ilah. So too, before getting the great pleasure of sleep, you have to say a bracha. Sleep is very enjoyable, right? So if you're exhausted and you come up late at night, and like, you know, like when your head hits the pillow, it's just like this great feeling, like finally, you know, where there's a, you know, rest, and it's very, very enjoyable. So before you get that hana'a of sleep, then you would say the bracha. Now, what's the rule by Birch Sananin? You say a bracha, are you allowed to talk before you get the hana'a? No, so that would be where it comes from, right? If Hamapil is a Birch Sananin, that would be the basis of not talking after Hamapil. Just like I'm not allowed to say a Shakol Niyeh B'Dvaro right now and then bring this with me in the car and start drinking it there. You can't be mafsik between the bracha and the hana'a that you get from it. What's the other option of what Hamapil might be? Birchas HaShevach. What's the Shevach? See, Birchas HaShevach, I see the Grand Canyon, I say a bracha. I see, lightning, thunder, I say a bracha. Something awesome, something that, I see an unusual person. I see a Chacham Chachmei Yisrael. I remember my son, when he was in Shalavim, texted me one day, I'm on the way to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Do I say a bracha? And the answer is probably yes, right? Meaning that when you see someone who's an extraordinary chacham, chachmei Yisrael, you say a bracha. Something that's very impressive, you say a bracha. Even on unusual looking people, you say a bracha. People who suffer from, you probably shouldn't say it like loud enough for them to hear, but people who suffer from various things, dwarfism, there's a bracha on that. If someone is, we're not going to go through all of them. I was once with my kids in Toronto. The Yankees were playing the Blue Jays in a 3-game series, and we decided to just go for all 3 games. It was summertime, we had nothing to do. So we went to Toronto for 3 days, and we were walking outside the Rogers Centre. Anyone from Toronto here? No Torontonians? Okay. So we were walking outside the Rogers Centre after one of the games, and there were a bunch of little people that were walking around in front of us. I'm like, oh, guys, it's time to say a bracha. And we counted, and this was crazy. We counted. You know how many there were?
Seven.
Exactly seven, not eight and not six. Exactly. I just thought that was weird. Like, they go out in groups of seven? Like, that's like asking for it. But that would require a bracha. That's a birchas shevach v'hoda also. That you see something that's just like different or amazing. So why would there be a birchas shevach on sleep? So you'd have to say that sleep is just that awesome that we want to praise Hashem. Meaning we praise Hashem every morning in the Birchas HaShachar. We praise Hashem for eyesight and for shoes and for being able to stand upright. And, all of these things. So we should praise Hashem for the great gift called sleep. And maybe that's what the nature of the bracha is. But is there any proof as to what kind of bracha it is? So listen to the following proof. I don't want to get too far into it, but listen to the following proof. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Brachos that says the following. He says, I don't understand. There's a mitzvah on sukkahs to eat in the sukkah. There's a mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah. Which is a greater mitzvah? So this is something that people who grew up in New York have no idea, because people who grew up in New York, for the most part, don't do much sleeping in the sukkah, but they do a lot of eating in the sukkah, right? Whereas if, you grew up in Israel, so much more likely that you've seen many, many more people sleep in the sukkah for a simple reason. The weather's much nicer in Israel on sukkah. It's the nicest time to sleep outside. Nicest time of the year is sukkahs usually in Israel. But the halacha is very clear that sleeping in the sukkah is more important than eating in the sukkah. So much so that the Gemara says that if you want to just have a little snack, you don't need to eat it in the sukkah, but you want to take just a little nap, you do need to sleep in the sukkah. So sleeping in the sukkah is a greater obligation than eating in the sukkah. Why is it that so many people don't do it? Maybe the cold is a good enough reason, but let's assume you're in a good climate, you're in a really nice weather. Sleeping is a greater obligation than eating. Ask Tosfos. And what bracha do you say before you eat in the sukkah? What's the bracha? Leisha b'sukkah. And what bracha do you say before you sleep in the sukkah? Nothing. There's no leishon b'sukkah. There's no leisha b'sukkah before sleeping in the sukkah. Tosfos says, I don't get it. V'im tomar m'bnei ma'in anu mevarchin leishon b'sukkah. Why don't we make a bracha before sleeping in the sukkah? So says Tosfos, two answers. That the bracha that you said before you ate of leishev sukkah, that exempts you from the mitzvah, from the bracha of sleeping in the sukkah. Meaning, Tosfos is saying, you're right, you should say a bracha before sleeping in the sukkah. But you already said the bracha when you had dinner. So that bracha doesn't only go on dinner, it goes on dinner and sleeping. Inami, Tosfos says, another possible answer. Mishum shemelo yishat vavi bracha levatala. You don't know that you're going to be able to fall asleep. There are many times where I try to go to sleep in the sukkah. It's my favorite mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah. I love it. I happen to be, I'm an introverted person, so there's nothing that I love more than being alone. I know that sounds weird and a little creepy, but there's nothing more anxiety-inducing for me than like being at a kiddush with like 200 people that I have to say hello to. I love people. I love talking to people. I just don't love being in huge social environment. Whatever. My wife is like, oh, a party, I love it. And I'm like, just put me away somewhere. So the sukkah is the best. It's me and Hashem. I'm under the stars. No, it's the best. Till my kids started sleeping in the sukkah, that got really annoying. But they're wimps. They don't make it through the first night. So So you may try to go to sleep in the sukkah, but you don't make it very. I mean, you might not make it that far. It might start to rain. It might start. Maybe it'll be too cold. Maybe the mosquitoes will get you. You don't know exactly whether you're going to be able to sleep. So Tosfos says, what's going to happen? You're going to say a bracha of lishon b'sukkah. You're going to try to go to sleep. You won't be able to fall asleep, and then it will be a bracha levatala. So it's not worth the risk to say the bracha levatala. In fact, you know what they say? They say that briskers don't say the bracha of hamapil ever, because they're afraid that if they say the bracha of hamapil, that's going to be so anxiety-inducing for them that what if I can't fall asleep? Oh no, if I can't fall asleep, and that itself will cause them not to be able to fall asleep because they're going to be so nervous, right? That's the story they tell about, what was it? They tell the story about the brisker who someone came over to him put a gun to his head and said, I'm going to kill you because you're a Jew. So he said, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hashem Kishon Sosizon, to be killed al Kiddush Hashem. And the guy got freaked out and he walked away. And the brisker was like, no. You can't be a bracha levatal. So there is this concern. Tos says you might not be able to fall asleep if you say a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah. So these are the two answers of Tosos. Again, answer number one, why don't I make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah? You do. You say the bracha before you eat, and that same bracha goes on the sleeping. Answer number two, you don't, because you might not be able to fall asleep. What would be the nafkamina between the two answers? What's the difference between the two? What if on the first night of sukkahs you're invited to someone else's sukkah for the meal, and then you come home, and you sleep in your own sukkah? If you're going with answer number one, you should say a new bracha. Right? You should have to say a new bracha, because the bracha you said was on somebody else's sukkah. Now you have to say a bracha on your own sukkah. If you're going with answer number two, no, there's still no bracha, because you might not be able to fall asleep. Asks the Maritz Chiyas, though, on answer number two. In the back of the Gemara commentary of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chiyas, Maritz Chiyas was one of the phenomenal commentators in the back of the Gemara. His comments are always extremely insightful. He also wrote separate svarim on the history of Torah Shebal Peh, which are also incredibly insightful and very broad. He was a contemporary of the Chasam Sofer. He was also like a very... I don't know if you call it progressive thinker, but someone who thought outside the box a lot and was very well versed in a lot of secular wisdoms, he would have been a YU Rosh Yeshiva, except more well versed in secular knowledge. In fact, the Hungarians who hold the Chasam Sofer to be like the greatest person ever, and he was pretty great. The Hungarian Hasidim cannot believe that the Chasam Sofer would write letters back and forth to the Maritz Chayes. He knew too much secular knowledge. How are you allowed to converse with such a person? So they said that no, Chasam Sofer was doing kiruv. So that's why he has all these letters back and forth. If you were to see the picture of the Maritz Chayes, he does not look like a YU Rosh Yeshiva. He looks legit, you know. He looks like not saying anything. Okay, I'll shut up now. So the Maritz Chayes asks a question. He says, "I don't understand. Tos is telling me I'm not going to say a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah because I might not be able to fall asleep." Hello, says Maritz Chayes. You say a bracha every single night. Every single night you say a bracha of hamapil. What about I might not be able to fall asleep? What was Tosus thinking? Tosus says, I might not be able to fall asleep, so I can't say a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah. You might not be able to fall asleep every night, and you still say a bracha of hamapil. So what's the answer? It's a strong question. So Maritz Chayes says, I can only think of one answer. It must be that when you say hamapil, you're not saying a bracha on this sleep that you're doing now. And therefore, if you don't fall asleep, lo nara, it's no big deal. It's a birchas shevach on the concept of sleep. Yes, we say the bracha when we go to sleep, because when would be better to say a birchas shevach than when you're about to try to experience that shevach? So that's the best time to say the bracha, but it's not about this sleep that I'm doing now. It's about that God created this magnificent thing called sleep in general. So it doesn't matter if I don't fall asleep, says Maritz Chayes, and therefore, if I say a mapel and I need to tell somebody something, I'm allowed to, because it's not about this sleep. Comes along the Eli Rabbah and says, no, Maritz Chayes missed something obvious over here. there's an easier answer to his question. Again, let's remind ourselves, what was his question? How could Tosfos say that you don't say a bracha of sleeping in the sukkah because you might not be able to fall asleep in the sukkah? Hello, you say a bracha every single night of Amapil, you might not be able to fall asleep then either. How could you say the bracha? What's the answer? Says Yali Rabba, you missed one word of Tosfos. Tosfos was worried you're going to say a bracha and sleep in the sukkah and you might not be able to fall asleep basukkah, in the sukkah. You know why you're not going to be able to fall asleep in the sukkah? Anyone ever try it? You're on a lousy cot with usually missing one wheel from when you wheeled it back into the house last year, and it's cold outside or hot outside or somehow both, and there are mosquitoes, and it's when you're in your bed and you got like those, you know, whatever they, those 48-inch mattresses, and like you sleep there every night. You're pretty confident that you'll make it. You know, you're pretty confident you'll be able to fall asleep. That's the difference. I say I'm happy every single night because I'm pretty confident in my ability to fall asleep because I have the ability to fall asleep every night. But I'm not going to say a brach of lishon besukkah because in the sukkah I'm worried I'm not going to be able to fall asleep. That's the answer. But of course, says the Eli Rabbah, if you're not going to be able to sleep, don't say hamapil. Because hamapil goes on that sleep. Ooh, so now we have a machlokas. What is hamapil? Is hamapil a bracha on that sleep? Or is hamapil a bracha on sleep in general? And the big nafkamina is, am I allowed to talk after hamapil? So, okay, so you tell me, play it safe. Just don't talk after Amapil. And that's, in fact, what the Mishnah Berurah says to do, to play it safe and not talk after Amapil. But what if I have to? Meaning, what if I have to go to the bathroom after I said Amapil? This must have happened to somebody here, right? It's got to happen sometimes. You're trying to go to sleep, then you have to go to the bathroom. So now what? You come out of the bathroom, now you have a new bracha you have to say. But you already said Amapil. Are you allowed to say Asher Yatzar? Anyone ever think about this one? Right. Yeah, so usually it's like anxiety, what do I do? Text someone, I don't know, what do I do? Right, so what do you do? So this is this machlokas. It's a machlokas between the Maritz Chayis on the one hand who says, no problem, say Asher Yatzar, the Hamapil's not on this sleep, you can say whatever you want. Versus the Eli Rabbah / Mishnah Berurah, who's going to tell you, no, don't say Asher Yatzar because you already said Hamapil. You know, you'll say Asher Yatzar in the morning, that will cover everything. When you say Asher Yatzar in the morning, maybe that's a nafkamina. Another nafkamina might be, let's say I'm really just not sure if I'm going to be able to sleep. It's a Motzoi Shabbos, and on Shabbos afternoon, I got the most magnificent nap. It was like, I have raising four teenage boys, you know, so on a long Shabbos afternoon, like we have this time of year, we'll be like, oh, did you get a nap today? Yeah, 6 hours. That's not a nap. That's like a night and a half of sleep. That's 6 hours. So, like, if I were to sleep, let's say, you know, we finish lunch at 1, Minchas at 7, you know, 7:30 or something, 6 hours of a nap. And then right after Shabbos, you know, need a coffee after Shabbos. So I have a coffee right after Shabbos. So I'm not fully confident. I mean, I am fully confident in my teenage sons, but I'm not fully confident that I'm going to be able to fall asleep on Motzoi Shabbos. Do I say Hamapil? So if you hold that Amapil is on this sleep, don't risk it. You might not be able to fall asleep. But if you say Amapil is on the concept of sleep, I should say Amapil because I enjoyed a 6-hour nap earlier in the day. Maybe even when I take that 6-hour nap, I should say Amapil. If it's on, we don't do that because the Gemara says specifically Hanichlas Lishon Mitasa. The Gemara says Belayla. So if you go, I think the Gemara says Belayla that it's only when you go at night to sleep. I should check that out. But I think the Gemara says that it's only when you go to sleep at night. No, it says Hanichlas Lishon Mitasa. I don't know, but that's also a discussion in Poskim. If you were to sleep during the day, would you say Amapil? We Poskim you don't when you sleep during the day. Okay, so you have all these questions. So now let's go back to our question. The woman wants to count Sefiras HaOmer. She already said Amapil. So what would you say? It depends whether you hold like the Mishnah Berurah and you're careful not to talk after Amapil, or whether you hold like the Maritz Chayis. Now, how do we hold? I think the majority of poskim actually hold not like the Mishnah Berurah on this. We try to be careful l'chadchila not to talk after Amapil, but that's a chumrah that we do. But I think the majority of poskim assume that it's about sleep in general. And therefore, technically, you are allowed to talk. And therefore, I would tell you, if you have to go to the bathroom, say Asher Yatzar when you come out of the bathroom. Don't wait until the next day. Say Asher Yatzar. And in fact, whatever poskim I found that speak about this topic say the same thing. that better to do Sfiras Omer, especially considering that Sfiras Omer is a mitzvah, and that according to at least some Rishonim, if you don't count that night, you may not be able to count going forward, so you're going to cost yourself the mitzvahs of every other night as well. Now that's also a tricky thing. That's not so pashut, that if you don't count that night, that you're not going to be able to continue counting the other nights. You know, that's a big machlokas in Rishonim. And Tosfos quotes a Bahag who says this, that if you miss one night, then that's it, you're done. But Tosfos says about that Bahag, Tosfos' comment about that Bahag, that if you miss one night, that you're done, Tosfos writes, what's his lashon? V'teima gedolahu v'lo yitachein. Tosfos says that is the strangest thing I ever heard, and it's impossible that it's true. But we pass in the Shulchan Aruch like that. So, you know, or at least we're choshish in Shulchan Aruch for that. So I would say that the woman should say a makkel. Now, does it matter that she's a woman as opposed to a man? Does that make any difference when it comes to Sfira? So, what do they tell you about when you're all raised as women? What do they tell you about Sfira Sa'omer? Yes count, no count, bracha, no bracha. And he svarred him here. And he svarred him in the house. No svarim in the whole room? Are you kidding me? Oh, okay. What were you talking? No bracha.
Not svarim, but I know that svarim.
Do we have any actual svarim? No posers. What? You don't say a bracha, right? Svarim don't say, because svarim women generally don't say a bracha on mitzvah shasman grama and time down positive mitzvahs. Okay, as far as the bracha, but do you count svira? Yeah, because women always volunteer mitzvah shazman grama. I've often commented, Rabbi Sablovsky told me once that he once asked Hashir and YU, of intelligent YU guys, how many mitzvah shazman grama do you think women are actually pater from? And one of these brilliant guys, who's smart enough to be Rabbi Sablovsky Shir, raised his hand and said, like 2,000! And he said, let's start again. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. 365 of them are los aseh. 248 are mitzvos aseh. So now, how many mitzvos shazman grama are women actually exempt from? The answer is like 6. It's somewhere between 5-7, but it's around that. There aren't that many. But Sfiras HaOmer is one of them, right? Sfiras HaOmer L'chora is one of them. There is a Magen Avram that says that women were mekabel Sfiras HaOmer as a chiyuv, that they've already accepted to do Sfiras HaOmer as a chiyuv. The Mekubalim are very against it for some reason. They say that there are certain mitzvos that are male mitzvos, that that the mitzvah has a gender, so to speak, and like tefillin and tzitzis and Sfiras HaOmer, that these are male mitzvos, the Mekubalim say. But I think the poskim don't assume that way. The poskim assume that Sfiras HaOmer is like a regular mitzvah shazman grama, and a woman is allowed is encouraged to volunteer the mitzvah, and an Ashkenazi woman is even encouraged to volunteer the mitzvah with a bracha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but I'm uneasy about that, because generally speaking, the Mishnah Berurah says not every woman is Rebbetzin Kanievsky. You know, you ever read the Rebbetzin Kanievsky biography? She davened with a minion 3 times a day, so she davened Marav with a minion every single night. So if you're going to daven Marav with a minion every single night, you're never going to forget Svira, because someone has to count Svira every single night at the end of the minion. But most women are not able to daven Marav with a minion every single night, or don't try to daven Marav with a minion every single night. And therefore, says the Mishnah, I'm nervous that you're going to forget one of the nights, and therefore, don't start counting the bracha, because you're not going to make it to the end anyway. Which is also interesting. Do we always say that just because you're not going to make it? What if, the Nadvi does a shuva, what if a doctor comes to someone and says, you got 3 weeks to live? And he's like, but we're only holding back the third day of the Omer, right? So like, should he keep counting with the bracha? It's not going to make it to the end. Meaning, like, when do you say, like, if I'm not going to make it to the end, I shouldn't count? He's probably got bigger shilas than that, I understand. But, like, certainly bigger problems than that. But is that a thing? That if you're not going to make it to the end, that you don't say tonight with the bracha? Again, a bigger topic. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So maybe, for a woman being putter from the mitzvah, it's not such a big deal if she misses. Maybe it's not worth sacrificing the hamapil of the Mishnah Berurah, where you're not allowed to talk according to the Mishnah Berurah, for a mitzvah that you're not obligated in anyway. If it's a mitzvah that I'm obligated in, so I'll pass like the Maritz Chayis, and I'll count after hamapil. But if I'm not obligated in the mitzvah anyway, so maybe it's not worth saying the bracha and counting after hamapil. In fact, there's even one shita in Rishonim that women are obligated in Sfiras HaOmer. There's a sheet of the Ramban, where the Ramban in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Daled writes that Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grana. It is not a time-bound mitzvah saseh. So everyone asks on the Ramban, with all due respect, do you know how Svira works? Meaning you would think it would be like the paradigm of a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Because guess what? Every year, it's the second day of Pesach until Shavuos. So it is like the classic example of mitzvah shazman grama. So much so that there are some people, Divrei Malkiel, thought the Ramban must have been a typo. It probably said Samach Ayin or Samach Hei Ayin, and someone spelled it out as Sfiras HaOmer, and what it really said is Seder HaAvoda, that Karbanos are a Mitzvah Shelo Hazman Grama. Or, Divrei Malkiel says, maybe someone confused a Mem for a Samach, and it probably said Mem Ayin, and it really meant Matnos Aniyim, having nothing to do with Sfira, obviously. Matnos, because it can't be. How could you say Sfiras HaOmer is not Zman Grama? So there are a couple of approaches to say that maybe it's not Zman Grama. Zman Grama means, Rav Shlomo Kluger writes, Zman Grama means that what triggers the mitzvah is a particular date, a particular time. What triggers Sfiras HaOmer is not a date or a time, it's a karban. The karban Omer on the second day of Pesach triggers the chiyuv for Sfira. What triggers the karban? The date or the time, it's true. But what triggers the mitzvah of Sfira is not the date or the time, it's the karban. And without the karban, you have a mitzvah of Sfira. What's the obvious kasha? We don't have karbanos and we still have Sfira. Yeah, that's why we paskin Sfira somewhere b'zman hazeh is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'rabana. Because we don't have the karban. In fact, Rav Moshe Sturmbach writes in one of his tshuvos that in the Siddur, you know, whoever got to write the Siddur and decide what to include in the Siddur and what not to include in the Siddur is like became the biggest posek in Klal Yisrael, right? Meaning, in the Siddur it says like L'shem Yichud before Sfiras HaOmer. If you're not Hasidish, you shouldn't be saying L'shem Yichud, right? We don't do that if you're not Hasidish, but it's a or not Kabbalistically inclined. The non-Kabbalistically inclined poskim were very, very against L'shem Yichud. But in that little paragraph after L'shem Yichud, you know what it says? It says, Hinni muchun umazum and l'kayim mitzvah shal Sfiras HaOmer kimo shekasuv b'Torah usvartan l'chem machas Shabbos. Says Rav Moshe Sturmbach, the Gaivit of the Eid HaRedis, he says, Shakron! You're a liar! How could you say, I'm about to do the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, kamo shekasuv b'Torah? No, you're not! You're about to do a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, not the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer like it says in the Torah. That's a lie, says Rosh Hashanah. So you have to change it. He says you have to say, kishem shenemar. Because kishem shenemar is a lashon that we use when a pasuk is just a remez and is not the real source for something. Or you could just skip the whole Hinni Muchun Umazum entirely, right? You don't say the mitzvah without it. You could just say the bracha and say the mitzvah. You should say the harachman afterwards. Harachman yachzor lanu v'od zbeisim muslim kom meher v'yameinu. You should say afterwards. Because, and that's for the same reason, by the way. Why do we say that harachman afterwards? Like, I always want the Beis HaMikdash. Not only when I count Sfira that I want the Beis HaMikdash. Shouldn't I be like walking around all day saying harachman yachzor lanu v'od zbeisim muslim kom? Like, why is it after Sfira that I say it? Because Sfira somewhere when we had a Beis HaMikdash was a big mitzvah. It was a mitzvah d'oraisa. And now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's a teeny mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So it's a shell of what it used to be. So it's like depressing to count Sfira. Because we know what it used to be and what it is now. And it doesn't match up to what it used to be. And therefore we say, Hashem, we want a Beis HaMikdash back so we can do Sfira somewhere the way it was supposed to be. The way it was meant to be. And that's the reason for the Rachman. That's also the reason some of the Rishonim say that we don't say Shechianu on Sfira. Because if you don't say Shechianu, it's something that's fundamentally sad. And it's just sad that we don't really have the mitzvah anymore, the way it was meant to be. So anyway, long story short, should the woman say the bracha of Hamas? Should she count Sfira afterwards or not? So my inclination is yes, but that's largely because I think most poskim say not like the Mishnah Berurah, and that really you are allowed to speak after Amapil. Again, not that you should go on carrying hour-long conversations with your roommates after Amapil or anything like that, but that you are allowed to speak after Amapil. So that's my inclination. Very quickly, I don't know how much I should probably end like soon, right? So, but the just very quickly, the other Shaila? What was the other Shaila again? The guy counted in his sleep. Yeah, so what do you say? Does that count? Say it does? In general, when you do mitzvahs when you're sleeping, does it count?
No.
You know there's...
Rav Shlomo Zalman says you're
potter, so maybe it doesn't count. Right? So this Shaila was first asked. You think, you know, there's a rule, Ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever you think, you have an original shaila. There is a tshuva in the sefer Lev Chaim, Rav Chaim Palagi, who was got the shaila from Izmir, Turkey, where there was a Yehudi, Yerei Shamayim, he describes, who counted Sefer Somer every single day. One day he got home and he was so exhausted, he just collapsed on the couch. And Vayihi b'chalom alayla. And it was in a dream. Niskara ish shalokim es ha-mitzvah. He was so nervous about counting Sefer, that's what he was dreaming about, that he didn't do the mitzvah. Kom v'amad b'chalomo. He stood up in his dream. Ubirech al Sefiras Omer, right? You probably all had roommates that do this also. They stood up and carried on a whole conversation in the dream. And the person was absolutely not awake. V'himshech, hayom, chamisho, shoshim yom la'omer, shem chamisho shavuos, harachma, and he did all rachma. I don't know if he did the shem yichud. So then he forgot the next day what he had done, and he forgot to count the whole next day. Can he continue to count with the bracha? Says Rav Chaim Palagi, he's not allowed to continue to count with the bracha. Why not? Because the Gemara in Megillah tells us that if your kara es haMegillah misnamneim yatsa, that if a person reads the Megillah while they're dozing off, they're yotzei the Megillah. If you manage to read the Megillah while you're sort of in, like, you know, like 20 minutes into the shir kind of state, you know, if you manage to read the Megillah when you're in that in between state, you're yotzei. The Gemara says, "Hechi dav misnamnim." What does it mean that you're in between? So the Gemara gives an example. The Gemara says, you know, when you're nim velo nim, tir velo tir, you're sleeping, but you're not really sleeping. You're awake, but you're not really awake. Dekar leva ani. If someone were to call your name, you'd be like, what? You know, like you'd respond to your name. But ach lo yada la duri svar. But if someone were to ask you a question, you know, someone would ask you, like, how you feeling? You'd be like, about 75 degrees, like you wouldn't be able to respond until they, like, you know, said, no, I'm asking how you're feeling. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling fine. You know, like, that's the point, where the point of sleep, where you yotze. So says Rav Chaim Palagi, but if you're sleeping any deeper than that, then you're not yotze. And he therefore says that you can't continue to count Sefira. I still told this guy to yes count Sefira. Why? Why is it any different than Rav Chaim Palagi's case?
There were witnesses
that he did it, okay. I don't know how this guy knew that maybe there were witnesses in Rav Chaim Palagi's case also. I think it was more than witnesses. The guy said that his wife counted Sefira and he responded by doing it also. She said, oh, let's not forget Sefira. The Gemara's example of someone who's misnamnim, who's awake enough, is that if they call you, you respond to it, that you respond to the external stimuli of people calling you. So she called out Sefira. Not only did he say, what? He actually said the whole Sefira. Now, the truth is, he should have stood up to say Sefira. You're supposed to say Sefira standing up. But you're yotze if you say Sefira lying down. So I thought, for that reason, yotze. Plus, I always throw in that the major, major majority of Rishonim hold that even if you miss a night, you still count with a bracha. And there are even some Achronim that say, forget what the Shulchan Aruch says, just keep counting with a bracha. Because that's what almost all the Rishonim say. Okay, we try to show respect to the Bahag by not counting with the bracha if we forget a day entirely. But you're still supposed to count. And if there's any other tzad, any slim other tzad, to be able to say that maybe I did count the previous night, then I would always say, keep counting with a bracha. So these are some of the shailas that come up with Sefiras HaOmer. Be'ez Hashem, I look forward to coming back some other time, when I'm supposed to be here, when I'm actually supposed to be here. Everyone should have a wonderful evening.